Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have Katie Barbaros here.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
And returning Jay Lequier.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Two of my favoritest people who are both adorable human beings. I feel like when I started my intro, like, hi, guys, I was like so, I feel like it was my first podcast ever. I was like, hi, I'm speaking into audio equipment and I'm excited.
We're all friends.
That's how I feel.
So first of all, I'm going to give quick two. So first of all, Jay and I have been friends for a hot minute, which means about 5 years, I guess. 4 or 5 years?
I can't. Wow. That's time flies.
But Jay gave me a rap lesson for a full day last week where I almost had a meltdown because I realized it's a muscle I'm going to have to work for months and months and years. And then I kind of melted down for an hour because I was like, oh, yeah, this is hard as fuck.
You've been riding that like new to it kind of energy.
And I was one of those teachers
where I was just like,
this is a serious business. It takes years of training.
Jay's amazing, actually. Do you want to spit some bars real quick, or is that embarrassing to ask you to do on the spot?
I could think about some I'd like to spit, and then maybe later.
Okay.
But off the top of my head, they're all really violent and terrible, and I don't know. I just don't want to be thought of as that right off the hop.
Well, explain why.
Enjoy me first and think I'm funny and nice, and then I'll, you know, hopefully
terrorize you. Jay and Eitan were part of this rap duo called Rick and Chuck, where they pretended to be middle schoolers, and then they'd rap.
Oh my God, wait, I saw this video. Okay, Kate showed me this because you were the inspiration.
I love you, Kate Wolf. Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Big fan.
I didn't even know I am a big fan of you already.
Thank you so much.
Even though,
oh my.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I'm blushing.
And now Katie, because we have to do a little intro story on Katie. Katie, I used to be at the Lantern all the time. You remember? You came on the show when I had a show there.
Hells yeah.
And but right now, the downstairs where it used to be the club is right now like being renovated. So it's kind of like a hidden little living room.
It's just a creepy basement right now that you have to walk through to get to the bathroom. Like it's,
but
it's
I love it because if you're in the area, if you're in the Greenwich area, like I'll just come down there and like if I have an hour to kill, I'll just like sit down there.
Yeah.
So Katie was sitting down there and I just came and I was like, hi. And we're like, hi. And we just became friends immediately.
Yeah, it was really weird.
We were just weird, though.
I know that I'm meant to be friends with you.
You can tell sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
it happened with you too, actually. Yeah.
It happened a bit too.
It was a little scarier because I was like, I'm your soul family.
Well, I just moved here. I just moved here from Canada.
We were both thinking that, but neither one of us said.
Yeah. I've learned how to
play
it cooler.
Really quick. Yeah, I think maybe going through me.
I've just done a lot of healing work.
Yeah. Yeah, it was before all of your healing work and spirituality.
I've learned not to do that because it's actually gotten me in trouble because then you find out someone could be a psychopath later. Mm-hmm. So, of course, it didn't work that way with either of you.
I used to be like that as well. Everywhere I went, I wanted every human being to be my best friend.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can be loved by all of these people. And then you realize like you get a little bit older, you're just like, I don't want to even talk to any of these people.
Yeah.
There's like maybe one person in this huge room that I even want to give my time and energy and like any of myself to.
Yeah. I'm too optimistic about people too. Yeah. Just a little too
trusting. Right away though, my guard was way up because I just moved from Canada and it was like day one going into this new office in Manhattan and like don't know anybody here and I miss my friends and family so much. I had a bit of like a...
He was being a little bit of a bitch.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
As we called in the rap game. Little bitch.
We're not in the rap game right now. We're in the friendly podcast game.
I'm sorry.
I thought this was a safe
place. It is.
Rap is turning you into...
Keep going, you little fucking bitch.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to my feelings.
Fucking story. Yeah.
Katie and I just end up bullying Jay the whole time.
Yeah, the violent gangster rapper that you both watched.
Yeah.
Asserting your dominance together.
We just out of nowhere, we're both taking a piss on your leg and you're like, what is happening?
I love podcasts.
This leg is mine.
Sorry, Jay, keep going. So you were...
Feelings.
Yeah.
Emotions, feelings, sadness. Yes. And then Kate Wolf was just like, let's be best friends. And I was like, I have a bunch of friends from Canada. I don't want any friends from here. So it took a little bit.
A little like... Jay and I loved each other from the start, but definitely at first you were all kind of like, okay, Kate, let's take it a little slow. And I was like, nope, we're going to be friends forever. I can already tell.
Take it slow.
And I mean, who was right?
You were right.
Yeah.
It didn't take very long.
I can relate to that. Like, I used to feel like, oh no, I have my quota of friends. Like, yeah. I'm no longer open.
Loyalty.
Yeah.
Slave taken.
Mm-hmm. Can't sit here.
Yeah. Forrest Gump. Sorry, Katie.
Sorry.
No, I love it. No, I'm just trying not to laugh into the microphone. That's like my internal monologue is like, shut up, Katie. Don't.
Really? Well, oh, laugh. Let it out.
I just feel like it's going to hurt my ears, everyone's ears. I don't know.
Now I need to hear your laugh. Can I quickly rap you guys?
Rap.
I want you to hear. So everyone, I wrote an even dirtier rap song called Pussy Teeth. Mm. And it's about... Okay.
Pussy good, pussy teeth. Pussy good enough to eat with.
Jay!
Remember that rapper?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Pussy good. I think Dez sent me that.
Peaches or who does that?
Yeah,
one?
No, Dez literally, our friend Dez sent me that thing. Okay. Okay, so this one's called Pussy Teeth. And I'm not going to do the whole thing, but I just want you to see how fucking. Yeah. Okay, ready? Look at this truck driver making the pussy licking sign. I'll peg you in the ass. I'm not yours, you're mine. You sure you want to fuck this? My pussy got teeth. Your dick gets mangled when my cookie queef.
Oh.
Wait. Your pussy has teeth? You're crazy. No, dumbass. It's a metaphor about my feminine anger. Can you possibly bore anymore? Snore. My vagina wields a knife. Not careful, it'll cut you. Don't hit on that one. She's a loudmouth Jew. Dudes ain't sure when it comes to me. Shit she says makes me feel scarred. My dick keeps going from soft to hard. I'll fart in your mouth. Don't care if you find me sexy. Before you go south, think twice. I'm testy.
Oh,
so that's just a little. There's a little bit of it. Oh, very proud.
You want to test me?
Said I'm going to mangle a dick when my cookie queef. I mean, how often can you express that?
My favorites in rap, the beginnings of lines that are just like, I'll fart in your mouth. Like, that's the beginning. And then you're like, where's it going to go from here?
And then it's like cookie queef. Start, I got it. Okay, good. Yeah.
Maybe I should call it cookie queef like instead the whole song. Of pussy teeth. Or maybe it could be called pussy teeth cookie queef. Oh.
Look at me.
Air hump. Okay.
I feel like you got to incorporate some like lips, like just the like the lips and tips. I don't know. I'm just feeling like that.
Katie, you made me feel things in my body.
Ooh, in your wherever. Yeah.
Yeah, in my lips and my tips.
All it just, oh yeah. Man, it sounds good.
So sweet. You're going to give her pussy teeth cavities.
Oh,
I got that sweet dick. I give your pussy teeth cavity. Yeah, you want to rap with me? As if B. I'll fucking. Nah.
I was getting excited. I was trying to like.
It just turned into such a.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know we were going to do dirty, dirty, dirty rhymes. All right.
You're safe here to do whatever.
This
I mean,
is a safe space.
This is. Do you want to spit anything real filthy that Rick and Chuck used to do? It's Rick and Chuck. It's not Jay. Jay is one of the sweetest little nugget babies ever. But his rhymes are pretty fucking horrific.
Hey, yo. I'll travel back in time to your birthplace, stand waiting by your mother's cunt to punch you in your face. Then I'll grab your dilated mother by her waist and squeeze you out like a fucking tube of toothpaste.
Yes.
Then the options are countless. Let's see if a baby bounces or if a blender can handle 7 pounds, 8 ounces.
Whoa! That is disgusting and beautiful.
Imagery.
Imagery.
Violent imagery.
Wow. Katie, and you.
Yeah, here's. Okay, I have also a dead baby rap.
Just can you imagine down. You did? You just had one ready to go. You're like, abortion.
Abortion. Real shit. Yeah. We'll go there. Yeah, we're going to. We'll wait.
I'm so. Embarrassed. Let's talk about a topic. Shall we pick a topic, folks?
I don't know we were doing that here.
Yeah.
I don't,
table topics.
Well, let's see. So Katie and I, first of all, this was what, like a month ago, I guess? Was it that long ago?
What the tea?
That we met?
Oh, when we met.
For tea. No, for tea. When we met for tea. So Katie, we met in like the Greenwich Village area, and the coffee place we were going to meet at, it was like full, right? There are some places that are always full because it's like where everyone wants to go.
Ruggiero? Where'd you meet?
I don't know what it was called.
Jeff. Sorry.
Did you see how annoyed I got? I was like,
we abandoned it because it was too crowded.
It was too crowded.
Mm. Yes.
So we found this like weird, almost Harry Potter like zone. It's like this tea house that was like almost hidden. It's like another dimension somehow.
It was like an apartment building. Like it was just, it had like all of the mailboxes. Like you
know what I mean?
Mm.
Like it's like, yeah. Like it's like a hidden
buzz.
Yeah.
Buzz.
So we go in, and it's like funny because we're, I think we talked a lot about dirty shit, but in like a quiet tea house, which kind of made it fun.
There were literally three tables in this tea house, and we had one of them.
We talked about puss a decent amount. But anyway, I want to bring up some of the things we talked about. One, I'm saying it like really happy, and then it's going to get real real. I don't know why. I was like, one is Katie's struggle.
Oh, no. Kate, is this where you want me to talk about my eating disorder?
Yeah. I love how I like brought it up like it was going to be real fun. I'm like, Katie, tell us how you struggled with eating disorder.
That's literally how I talk about it most. But, like, most of my casual convos go here. Like, I've been on, okay, so I've been going on some like first dates like lately, and every single one of them has gone to like, oh, by the way, I, you know, used to struggle with bulimia and I'm feeling better now. But like, not, it's like just part of my story. I don't know. It just kind of comes up as, because it's like, I don't know. It's like part of my story that I like, it's at this point in my life is like really important for me to own in a, like, I don't know. I guess I just bring it up a lot and I always don't know. Yeah.
It's you're proud of your journey.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, I guess it's something that's like really colored a lot of like the rest of my life. Cause I've gone through, I'm in Overeaters Anonymous, and I went through the 12 steps like to, and it's really changed my life. And so it's like been a journey. Thank you.
Hells yeah.
Well, what I love about comedians, and sometimes we probably use this muscle to the point where we're not feeling our feelings, is that we can take the darkest things we've been through and because we find the light in it, but then also talk about it over and over again on stage.
Yeah.
You have the positive and the negative to it. The positive is we're finding the funny in what we've went through. And then the negative could be like, we say it so much that we've almost become numb to our own experience of it in a sense.
Totally. Yeah.
But because I do the same thing where I'm like, did I tell you about the time? And then I'll go into something fucking nuts. I'm like, oh, I just said that like a sociopath because I'm so used to delivering it that way.
100%. Yeah. Oh my God.
So, but anyway, but yeah, no, I mean, I found it really interesting because I think whether it's, you know, an eating disorder or whatever it is, we all have these struggles that we need to work through. And the thing that Katie and I had in common was like in college, I wouldn't call it an eating disorder, but it was in that realm of like I was working out obsessively, which maybe is in that umbrella where I became, because up until in high school, I never really had to worry about weight. I was just pretty active naturally. And then college came and I did gain the freshman 15. It hit me where I was like, I just thought I could eat whatever I wanted and it wouldn't touch me, and it did. And then I had to, I really had
you've been touched.
I was touched by
a food.
Hot dog.
By a hot dog.
Our next rap song that we're going to write together, Touched by a Hot Dog.
By Chicken Fingers.
Oh my God. So
I was diddled
layers.
By Chicken Fingers.
Diddle my tit. Yeah.
Actually, I'm vegetarian, motherfuckers. Yeah, so
eat back in college
dog,
too?
Yeah. Soy dog.
Soy fingers.
No, college, I was eating that meat, if you know what I'm
saying. That's what I was saying.
My vagina has teeth and I was eating that meat. Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
Who wants to fuck? Anyway, so
not me.
No. Okay, so I gained weight, and then when I did lose it because I became like obsessed with working out, and the thing we had in common was I used to obsessively count calories, where you would find like notes throughout my apartment where I could not enjoy eating anymore. Everything I ate was a number. Even when I worked out, I wouldn't stop till I hit a number on the machine. And I almost knew the machine wasn't correct, but I was living by these numbers that were running my life, and food wasn't fun at all anymore. Mm-hmm. And then I finally hit a point where I just said, I still worked out, but I hit a point where I said, I can't live like this anymore. I just want to eat. I will monitor, meaning like I want to make sure I'm eating healthy, whatever, but I just can't do this anymore. And the funny thing is like now, I work out sometimes. These dance parties for me are going to be my biggest workout, but something shifted. Like I don't even have to watch my weight anymore because I shifted my relationship to food in general, where I was almost just like, no, I'm not going to let this run my life. I still am going to pay attention to it. I still want to make sure I eat healthy, stay active, but like I'm going to let my body be the shape it's meant to be. anyway, because mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of us fight our body shape. We think it's supposed to be like one thing.
Yeah.
And we all have different fucking bodies.
That's so beautiful. That's like, I can really, that was my experience exactly. Like getting mm-hmm. into, it was, I mean, yeah, I always had sort of a disordered relationship with food, but I wouldn't have called it an eating disorder until I got to that point where I was on MyFitnessPal and like meticulously putting in everything I ate, you mm-hmm. know? And it was just like food was numbers. Food became numbers. And like the biggest shift is that, yeah, I have, I mean, like this is, you know, and it's all a process, but like, I am so grateful to be at this place where it's like, oh, I was wrong. I was wrong to be hating my body for so mm-hmm. long. Like this is actually just my container that's, you know, taking me through my life and I have nothing mm-hmm. but gratitude for it. Like, it's definitely been a process because like I was basically mistaking my body for myself. Does that make sense? Like you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, for sure.
And it's this weird sense of control.
You start seeing yourself through other people's eyes as if you're walking around like, I don't know, your peripherals, for me anyways, was similar to what you were going through was when I went bald at like 25 mm-hmm. and was getting chubby as well. Like it was the same, what you were saying with like the freshman 15 where food, I found it like maybe 26, my relationship with food changed where all of a sudden I couldn't eat anything I wanted and drink. Like I was drinking so heavily, like getting just blackout drunk and having such a call. Couldn't get over these like college years that I wanted to keep living forever as this like quote unquote, like rock star, like doing comedy shows and trying to bang some random and get blackout drunk and like eat whatever the hell I wanted. And then you could see I gained a lot of weight. Like, especially when I kept going until when I lived with you in Jersey City, I was over like 200 pounds, I think, and lost my hair. And I was like, so I just went to this ridiculous depression that like what you were saying, where you, your body or your physical self, like is everything. And I was like, oh shit, like I'm not attractive anymore at all. Like I had some confidence when I was younger and thinner and had hair and like, you know, then it just killed my confidence. And I just went into this like shell and, only recently, like maybe a year ago, 5 years after I lost my hair, I started really like being okay with it and making jokes about it, like doing stuff on stage about being bald or like not caring when I was on camera or even in regular everyday life, having my hat off. That was like only a few years ago would have been like a no, like no at all. I did all shows with hats on and like I was just hiding it. Like it was crazy. So
yeah, it's so interesting, our relationship to our bodies. Because when you hate your body, it comes out in so many different ways. And I think a lot of people don't even realize how much they're hating their body. And mm-hmm. some people have like for real body dysmorphia where they think they're overweight and they're for real.
I've seen
not. And then there are some people
who legitimately think like there's like, you know,
they look in the mirror and they see something totally different. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That refuses to take, it's not even compliments, it's just like, you know, there's not empty compliments anyways, they're legitimately trying to change their mind about how they look.
Yeah.
And they won't even hear it because
they're need getting to see something it. It's out deep, of their self hate. Yeah, yeah, they're getting something out of it. And then there are some people who do maybe have more weight that they're carrying than is quote unquote healthy, meaning like the doctor said,
but it
or
becomes
whatever.
Exaggerated like,
but even then, you know, you can have a goal to losing weight without hating your body, even with it having extra weight.
Yeah.
Like we live in such a conformist society, not just in the physical, but like in how we're supposed to be mentally and spiritually. And I just think it's time that we realize there are just so many different shapes. And like, even if you're not happy with where your body's at now and you want to have a goal where you're like, you know what, I just signed up for martial arts and I have a goal on getting more fit, like that's great, like that's fine, but it's not about hating your body until you hit that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's not where you're ever going to find true fulfillment. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's people do enjoy feeling fit and active, but god, it's just so much self-hate, and I feel like hating your body is just like one route of getting out your hate, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, because it's a way that you're blocking something else that's going on, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm putting my, like for me, the way I see it was for so long I was like, oh, I'm making food and exercise and like controlling my body, I'm making that the thing that's hard in my life instead mm-hmm. of confronting the things that I really want to work at.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know what? Actually, if you go for like, if you're trying to start whatever, like achieving a goal that you want to mm-hmm. do, like that's going to be hard. But that's work worth doing. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, I was just like, oh God, I have to make sure I only eat 200 calories for lunch. And it's like, what? Mm-hmm. Who are you? You're insane. Yeah. And, yeah, there's like there, and I love what you said. Like, I have a friend who recently was talking about how she sees bodies as trees.
That's beautiful.
Oh my God, I love that. I was just like,
we spoke, we had a talk, chat like that last year.
Maybe it was you. Maybe you told me that.
Yeah,
I brought up with Kate.
I was like, I need to meet her because like, oh my God,
it was you, Kate.
Well, trees are an interesting thing because literally I'm learning. It probably was. Who knows? But like, because in my spiritual school, I'm learning the Kabbalistic tree of life. So when I say trees, I mean, I love it in the visual, the artistic, actual trees, and then also in the sense of trees on a whole other universe. I think we're all trees. And we're these beautiful creatures that are sprouting and growing, and we have deep, deep roots that go into the soil, and then we also like reach up to the heavens. So it's like we're trees in that realm. And then even in the way that you're kind of saying, where it's like when you think of yourself as a tree, you're not like, oh man, like I'm too big and I'm too thick, or oh man, I'm too skinny. It's like you're a tree. Like you're just beautiful. And it just sucks that we attack people for their looks so much too. It's crazy to me.
Marketing based, I think.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, everything is about like, oh,
you don't have this.
Yeah, whatever. But
you need this. Yeah. And I feel like if you look at it in a bigger, not to trivialize the problem at all, but like when a couple things, the tree thing, when I watch like those Planet Earth documentaries, and you can see when they speed up the growth of plants, and I can see, and I had a chat with you about that a while ago, where I was like, we like humans, I think, grow very similarly to a flower, where there is like, you know, we literally start as a seed and then you sprout and you grow, and then until a certain point, and then you start kind of a decay, really, like. And so we're very similar in that way, but then also
thank you for the little uplifting.
I didn't mean it in that like negative.
Jay's like, so everyone listening, you're all but a tree going even.
It's the same.
Soon.
It's all the same. The cell, no, like our cells.
Trees just take longer to do it. Let's not say a flower. That's couple weeks.
That's a faster.
Well, it's okay. Winter's 80 years. You know, winter's ending. Spring's here. So this is a good moment to be a flower.
I'm thinking about spring. That's true. Some flowers.
Okay. I like it now.
And if you want to think of it, we're an 80-year. You know, on average.
Okay, an 80-year-old flower. I love that.
Exactly. They're the ones that get it.
Emilio, we are in the middle of podcasting. Emilio, one of the owners of New York Comedy Club, is giving Jay the finger to be funny. Because boys be boys, right?
Yeah.
That's how we say hello. We That's say, my fuck boy. You. We say fuck
he
you.
He didn't mean it as fuck you guys. It was sort of like a hey, friend.
He was just like, hey, does I'm that gonna mean stick Emilio's my finger leaving? In your ass.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Maybe.
Whatever. Jay was, but you guys were saying we're trees.
Not even the tree thing. Trees. I think with the
and
weight.
And then another tree gave him the finger.
I don't know what I was saying.
Do you think trees give other trees the finger?
In their own way.
In nature. Yeah.
Yeah. They just like, like when they shed their, I don't know.
They make sure their leaves shed extra hard on one side of themselves to the tree they don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Get your leaves off my lawn.
Get your leaves off of my bark.
Like two warring neighbors that literally have trees on their front lawns.
Stop.
Your trees be blowing over on my lawn. Stop. I can't help the wind, Frank.
Maybe your tree shouldn't have fucked my tree and cheated on her last year.
Yeah, stop fucking pollinating my buds, okay, dude?
Keep your male tree away from my sweet, sweet tree.
This is my statement.
Anyway, so yeah, I just wanted to talk about, because I really just think it's something that even if you don't identify as, oh, I had an eating disorder ever, there's just a huge relationship to our bodies, and we forget what they are. Like they are I loved how you described them earlier, Katie. I forget what you said, but you're like, they're these vessels that carry us places. It's literally like, if you think about a car in a sense, like that gets you from one place to another, but it's like a car you're living in for a decent amount of time and just really like respecting it and loving it. And just think about, even if you're driving like an actual car, like if you hate your car, it's shitty and you're hitting it, like that energy is probably actually affecting everything.
It.
Yeah, like respect. You don't have to, I'm not saying it in a way where you're like, just love your body. just love it. Like, if you're not into it, you're not into it, but that doesn't mean you have to hate it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's no, it's just a waste of energy because it doesn't, you have no control over it also. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's the same way, like, it's just the sense of acceptance and like, this is a new concept for me, for me, but like, it's really, I'm like grateful that I have this perspective now because it was never part of my life for like, you know, the first 27 years I lived. I was not, I didn't understand like, this is just my body. It's just a fact. It's objective. Yeah. There's not, and it's the same thing where like, I think about like anxiety or when I worry about things, like that's such a waste of energy because like, just accept where you're at. Even if you're frustrated or sad or whatever, it's like, thinking I shouldn't be feeling this way adds another level of crazy. So thinking like my body shouldn't be this way is like just.
Yeah. It's really just wasted energy. Like I shouldn't look this way.
Yeah, what? What? No. Who's like, telling you that?
Yeah. Your parents like wanting to have a child. Just they wanted to like, you know, bring a life into this world and then not. It's funny that we think like, this is my, like, oh, look at my nose and look at my hair and look at my, it's like these features that go back, you know, so many generations that if you, you know, we don't have pictures of them, but hundreds and hundreds of years ago, our ancestors look very similar to us. And we're just like, my fucking nose, because some like magazine that came out last month tells me that like, you know, my chest should be a certain way or my like, I don't know. It happens with guys too. It's clearly not nearly as, you know, as prevalent as females, but
no,
I
disagree. I think I had the same kind of just as much
when you're a teenager as well, and like not even just bodies, but how to act as how to be a man up, and like those same. We have the same shit. Yeah. It sucks. It's like I've got a really terrible. I didn't really have like a proper sexual education with like my dad or teachers or people telling me that like, you know, with women, you know, when you talk to them or how to, it was literally just like a shitload of American Pie type movies that were like, just get laid, bro. You're cool. If you get laid at all costs, like this whole point of this movie that I like American Pie as an example, there's a billion of them, but how many teen movies did we, you know, in the 90s or 2000s or whatever, that were just literally like, oh shit, we're about to end high school and we haven't been laid yet. We don't want to be fucking losers.
Yeah.
We got to get out there and bang some chick at all costs.
Love that. So you, I'm going to said oot
there. There, bud. Like Canadianisms.
Gotta get oot there.
You got a fucking butt. But get out there on your friggin' snowmobile. You drive on out to upstate, Northern Ontario.
Someone posted, actually, it was actually Matt Richards, a good friend. He posted on Facebook. I'm not going to tell the joke that went along with it because I didn't like it. But he posted an old picture of Michael Jackson before all the surgery and change. And when I first saw the picture, I literally was like, who is that gorgeous man? Like, it was like a picture of him that he had just gone swimming. And he's stunning. And then you look at it and you just get so sad because you're like, this man was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And, you know, he hated his body and he thought it was supposed to be more, quote unquote, white. And by white, I don't even just mean white. I mean like white, quote unquote, white features, like a nose that doesn't have character. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's like we're ashamed of our things that have character and look different. It's like we think we're supposed to all look the same or something and have these features that don't stand out. Like I have a nose that definitely stands out that I used to hate growing up. And the older I get, I'm like, no, it's like it has character to it. But growing up, I wanted to be blonde. I wanted to have blue eyes. I want to have like a little button nose.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I think about
I'm like, I wanted to be an Olsen twin. That was my fantasy. Wow.
That's what I'm saying. And think about, and listen, the Olsen twins are beautiful. It's not shitting on any, right? But I almost, the way I wanted to look, if I looked that way, is almost where I didn't stand out. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I almost wanted to not stand out at all.
I wanted to become generic.
Like disappear.
Yeah. Humans are
something.
So weird like that. I find that like we want to be different, but yet we're so social. And so we have these, you know, towns and like we live in such groups that we want to be individuals, but not too like the second you're sort of like out of this socially acceptable box of how to look or how to act, then, you know, I'm sure people that, you know, have like terrifying scars on their face and stuff that walk around, and they're just, you get, imagine the looks they get constantly that we don't get. Like, we, the three of us, yeah, luckily enough, look so completely normal that it's not like we walk into a room and everyone's just like, you know, in a good or a bad way, I don't think, get that kind of attention. We kind of want an attention, but not in certain ways. It's no, such
I
a get weird,
it. Like, I mean, I still have a very basic face in a way. I don't mean that mean, like, you know what I mean? So I get what you're saying in that I can't imagine someone who does have a feature like a crazy scar, and just how in our society we kind of gawk at things that are different.
Well, it's outside the
but
box.
But I also
it's
get like, it. Yeah.
Like, I feel
it's human
like,
nature also to
response.
Yeah.
To, yeah.
Oh, that's different. And it might not even be in a really mean way. It's just sort of like, oh, that's like, I've never seen that before.
It's an anomaly.
So you want to look. Like, you want to like look but not get caught. So you're being weird about it. So you look as if you're like, oh, and then look right back. And then they feel alienated. And I don't know. It's so funny how every single person is, as cliche as it is, we're all individuals. Like, we literally are like no one else, but we want to be like not everybody else, but our own group or our own, like what you were saying earlier about the image, your body, like how you think you fit into society, and you want to look that way. Then you try to even act that way and fit into like, oh, guys, I'm in the group I want to fit in with. Everyone, look at me. I'm in this group.
And just thinking about how you're being perceived rather than just,
It's so ego. It's all ego. It's all like,
I still get caught up, and I'm someone who's all like, sing your soul song. And, and the more I claim who I am, I still, you know, as I do that, I get these waves of fear. Like, what are other people thinking? Especially with the, I rap now. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how's this being perceived? Do people think I'm being disrespectful?
I'm terrified of it. I don't
in the
even,
race kind of sense. Yeah. I'm like, and I start worrying. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, I have to still just be who I am, but also allow myself to have these insecurities and these fears, because I know my heart. I'm not doing anything to upset anyone. I'm doing it just to actually express parts of myself that are me.
Yeah, that's how I feel a lot of the time. Because I sometimes, I'll talk about my eating disorder on stage. Actually, I did a show at Colgate University. Hi, Colgate. I'm just kidding.
What
like,
up, Colgate?
Colgate.
What
up, Colgate?
Shout out to my peeps. And like I did, of course, I was like, oh, cool. I'm doing a college show. Like, I'll talk about my eating disorder. That'll be relatable. It's like...
to all the people that don't want to admit that
right,
they
like, there's a fine line.
Look at this crazy bitch, right guys?
Right?
Not me.
The girl who went up after me was like, wow, Katie, you're a bundle of triggers. I was like, oh, fuck.
A bundle of triggers. I think I was saying to you, that has to be the name of your first album, A Bundle of Triggers.
I think it will be, yeah, because I guess so. It's like,
well, that reminds me of the time.
Living my like, truth and triggering, triggering teens at all junctures. I don't
living
know.
Your truth triggers. Like, no it matter does. Who it comes from, it triggers people.
And especially, you know, when it's new, you want to talk about it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And it's exciting to you, like, and me. And
when
you know.
It's when you're living and when you're talking about something that is like, I think that it is important to lean into it. And I think that when it's coming from an authentic place, like what you're saying, Kate, is that, I mean, it's not about like, oh God, I made someone upset. It's like, oh no, let me lean into that even more and be like, look, I maybe I did come off as being flippant, you know, like I'll own that too. Like I can totally do that, being like, yeah, I was bulimic. And, but like, it's at the same time, it's like, no, that was really for a long time. Like I was living in this like very debilitating.
You can't keep talking about
silence.
It as if it's like, so like at some point you have to be okay with talking about it and not dip into this like really serious moment. And like, everyone listen to this thing I went through. It's like, you can talk about it and be like, you know, I think once you get more comfortable with it over time, and then people think that's being flippant. But I don't think you are being like,
no,
just
exactly.
by talking about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, so if
yeah,
then that just enters another, there's like another then layer to the conversation, and that's okay too. It's like, oh, okay. You know, it's just like, there's not, if, as long as
let's
it's
have
coming
all
from
the
that
layers.
Authentic place, then there is room for those layers. Whereas when it's founded in something that's not actual truth, when it's like, oh, I'm saying this because I think this is what people want to hear. That's when you like, that's when, I don't know. It's just like, you
that's
can
when your
tell.
Body, yeah, your body can just, maybe it doesn't even know why, but you start to go to a person. Like, you can feel when someone's just doing it for attention. And I think that's what I worry about. I'm like, do people think that like, Because sometimes I quote, not quote, I'll comment really authentically under people's like Instagrams, like genuinely I'll be like, you're a star, keep shining your light. And I'll be like, do people think I'm just being like an asshole or like.
Oh my God, I know.
Yeah. No. Because it's genuine. No, you don't think.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they're dicks and they think you're being an asshole. I think that's a great comment.
I'm still
going to
do it. Yeah. Right. But I get worried. I'm like, man, if I wasn't authentic in that, I would be an asshole. Like, if I was just rapping for attention, if I was just being like, shine your light, because I thought it's what people want to say, then I get it. I would be the worst human ever. But I'm starting to get paranoid, I guess, where I'm like, oh God, I hope people know this is authentic.
But I think the fact that it is coming from an authentic place is that if anybody's like,
yeah, then there's nothing to worry about.
You double down on it and you're like, no, listen, like, I do think you are shining a light on the world. Yeah. And let me elaborate.
Listen, hater. Sorry. You bright light of a hater.
Bright light of a hater. Rap about your fucking light spells.
I have a lot of spiritual raps. I made Jay listen to 10 of them last week. He was like, okay, wow, someone's been writing. Now learn how to flow, bitch.
I didn't say it like that.
No, that's what I heard, even though you said it very nicely. Yeah, you were
the
very
rhymes
nice.
Are all great, and the substance is phenomenal. Yeah. The hardest part is putting it over a drum beat.
So hard.
And flowing. And
so hard.
So that's what makes it a song.
Rap.
Yeah, rather than spoken word or
from
a poetry.
Poems like, to a rap, yeah.
Yeah.
Right now, I guess I'm just really a poet.
Are
and
you
I'm calling myself a rapper.
Dirty ass poetry.
I think I am.
The things we said earlier, I wouldn't describe as poetry. I wouldn't stroll to
it. Can we just like find a poetry open mic to go to so Kate can do some spoken word?
That would be great. Just come and be like, hi, my name's Kate. Mm-hmm. Well, my cookie queef.
Yeah.
Now you made me want to read another.
Please.
Another one.
Okay. Labia game?
Now look what you did. You made me want to read another one.
Yeah. You keep rapping.
Look what all y'all haters did. You done opened me up.
Y'all haters inspire me and shit. You keep rapping about your pussy, you one trick pony. Maybe expand to your tushy. Ha ha. No, blow me. Keep your doubts coming. You're just my muse, triggering my hate. You annoy me, not amuse. And why are you scared of my body hair with all that fur on your back and I'm supposed to care? Did you see that bitch has hair on her legs? Yeah, I'm a fucking mammal. You forget why I'm masturbating to a chick banging animal? My last name's Wolf, so I'm literally a bitch. But if you call me one, gonna end up in a ditch.
Oh.
Throw down.
Poetry.
Arf.
rough.
Ow, ow! The wolf.
That's my I'm snapping.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to say poetry. That you made me think of before was, you know, we often find these things as a way just to obsess over something, to not go within. And you were saying that before. And for me, my thing since I was very young has been love addiction, obsessing over men. And I still have an ex that I think about a lot, which isn't fun for me to say because I'm doing so well in so many ways, right? Like here I am, I'm like healing, I'm growing. And yet, you know, I still find myself obsessing. And I think the key is not beating myself up for the obsession, which is the hardest part. It's like catching it and trying to come back and trying to not fall into the trap of blaming this person for my unhappiness. Cause that's been the whole thing since I was young is like, man, if this person were only this, and this, I'd be happy. Yeah. And
they'd be the right puzzle piece to complete me.
Exactly.
They weren't the right puzzle piece. Mm-hmm. Great. Now I'm not completed.
Yes. Yeah. And you're saying it, but it's exactly how it feels. And I'm trying to really lately, especially as I become more and more aware of this obsessing thing that I have is every time I go to this person, I actually try to send the person love, which sounds funny because I'm like, you're thinking about the person actually, and the positive is because you still love this person. Like you care about them. They've made a huge dent in your world. So like, you're really just trying to touch them. So I'm like, okay, touch. Like, that's fine. Like, hi. But now let's come back as to why you're blaming. Mm-hmm. Like what's really going on? And it almost always goes back to just this huge pain and anger and sadness that's been left on me from a kid is like, I really didn't have, I mean, I don't want to group my mom and my dad together because it was such different things, but like, I've really been badly hurt and always quote unquote disappointed. And when you're a little kid, constantly being disappointed over and over. And I don't mean like disappointed, like, oh, can I have a new Xbox disappointed? I mean the kind of disappointed where like you hope your mom's going to pick you up on time, or you hope your mom's just going to be nice to you and be loving. And instead she just starts cursing at you. And you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like when you go through that all the time, it just really, you hold it in your body. And I'm starting to touch just how deep my pain is around mm-hmm. that, of how much it hurt to be this like little girl who just wanted to like sing and dance and make art, and instead just felt like she was a piece of shit because every time she got excited about life, like had a parent in one way or the other just like sink her, you mm-hmm. know, that's what it felt like, a crumbling or a sinking. And as I start to see this in me, it's been really hard to see the ways that I really accidentally hurt Shane and took it out on him. It's been a lot better recently, but man, like, God, like so many memories are coming up of like him, you know, accidentally peeing as a young boy, like young, and me not having the capacity to hold space for my frustration and yelling at him for it. And like, oh my gosh, like, so the pain of seeing how much pain I was in younger and seeing also how I took it out on him, it's been intense lately, like trying to mm-hmm. to look at that. But I'm like, well, this is it. This is where this actually is. And the more I can go here, the less I'll obsess about, you know, the latest guy that I'm having trouble getting over, you know? But fuck, it's hard to go to the root. So hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Totally. And I love what you said about, like, and it's kind of like, why, like asking yourself, like, why am I holding on to this? Like, that's what, resentment is, like, what it means is, like, re-feeling, like, re-feel this, like, why yeah. am I re-feeling it? And it's like, for me, I know a lot of the resentments that I have are about, like, I get power from seeing myself as the victim back then. Like, oh, I was cheated on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wronged. I was right. I am this. And it's like, I gain a sense of, you know,
mm-hmm. Power, false power,
false almost? Power. I mean, or just like, it's just become not this, true. Like, protagonist, I think I'm better, like, than this other person. Like, yeah. I think that I deserve more because yeah. I was right.
You become your own, like, main character in a story, and everyone, like, I don't know, for me it was similar, like, what going along with what you're saying is, like, all those underdog movies, I think, or like TV shows where you can relate to, like, you know, not really like a victim, but the underdog, or like the, you know, and you kind of put yourself in those positions, like, oh, all these hardships I've been through and all this shit that happened to me, but like, I gotta keep going, I gotta keep pressing. And like, you know, I think we're all just trying to tell our own story, I guess. And then for me was mm-hmm. like the, drinking and partying. And because I moved out of the house at like 18 and I finally kind of got let out of the box, to, you know, so to speak, because my parents were really, really strict and religious and like, you know, don't do that, don't do this, go to your room, like just very like.
Were you hit as a kid?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not like, it wasn't, you know, I never got beat. I got spankings and, it wasn't abuse. It was just like, my dad's very old school. He's like mid-60s right now. And his dad, like, that was just the way it was. Like, you know, you don't act right, you're going to catch one.
I still think hitting is just fucking horrendous.
Yeah. I mean, like, I never thought of it like that.
I'm not saying it is abuse, although yeah. I have a tendency to call yeah. it that. But mm-hmm. when I call it that, a lot of people whose parents did do that,
I was
have
like
reactions,
so yeah, just so afraid of my dad, because yeah, yeah, it was early, it was only like 4 or 5 when I was getting like spanked and like thrown across the room and like seeing the power of this like yeah. big like full-grown man and just being like, okay, yep, okay,
but that's why
sorry,
I think it's abusive.
Sorry,
it's
sorry.
Abusive power. Do you get what I'm yeah. saying? It's like, it's an authority figure misusing their power, and that's what I think I try not to do with Shane now, which yeah. I was through my verbal language mm-hmm. and the way I was yelling was still being abusive in a sense, because mm-hmm. I'm showing him, you are powerless, I'm the powerful one.
Oh, that
even
was
though I
the
was
whole,
being such
the
a
basic
bitch.
Narrative like of my, lie, my yeah. parents is like, you're like, we are in charge, we are the voice, and you will shut up and listen. And if you ever talk out of turn, or you ever mm-hmm. like, you know, it was very, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Like, you know, around the dinner table, you don't, you know, interrupt, or, you know, don't talk back. Can't even talk back. It was like all, and then you grow up and you're like 16, 17, you're starting to get the same height as this man and this, like, that extra fuck you to him. Like, and you think you're, and then he's like, oh yeah, you think you're, and then he throws you up against the wall. Mm. And like, there's, you know, I mean, I forgive him now because I've grown and I'm not gonna, like, I think about it as, he's so great. And me and my dad have a great relationship now. And we never really talked about it. Like, I never brought it up as, like, you know, this is how he made me feel or whatever, because, like, I just know that's what he thought was, it's what he saw as a kid and still loves his dad. And when you think, you're all trying to do the best you can, I guess, right, with what you're given. So if that was his, like, parenting style, then I know there was never any extra. And he'd always sit me down and talk to me after, like, this is why I did it. And this
you would
is like,
excuse it, but that's what, yeah, I think.
But I don't know.
Here's the thing. And this is the intro. This is such a gray area because, you know, people are so multidimensional. So you can be abusive in one sense of yourself and then also the most amazing person too. Like, I'm saying, in me, I never hit Shane, but I saw the way I was verbally being abusive in the sense of abusing my power, abusing my authority. And it's ugly to see that place in yourself, yeah, but I feel that it's been very important for me and for Shane to acknowledge it to him. And I get it. Most people don't get there with their parents. I'm going to therapy with my dad, which is a very
rare
thing.
I don't know
if
I'd ever be able to bring up, like,
I had to move on to the next step of the healing work where I was like, or to even carry on a relationship with him in an honest space. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm hurting over this. Like, I am still in a lot of pain over what happened in that house. Mm-hmm. And this is my dad. My mom and I have had for years and years, you know, we're still going through my anger and sadness with her. But I really have gotten to a place, and him and I have done so much work so far, and we're in such a better place, and I'm sure we're going to continue to dig things up. But I think people are so scared because they know their parents actually tried their best and got it from their parents and they got it from their parents that they are almost like, well, I kind of forgive them because I know they didn't mean it. And I get that. But there's still an allowance of getting to have that conversation of like, hey, I get it. You were trying your hardest, but it still wasn't right. And sometimes you have to say that. I know it's almost hard for 90% of people. And I think we're almost looking out for them because we know the shame that might come up in them.
I knew how
would be too
terrible
much to handle.
He felt about it. Like, he, like, expressed to me very genuinely how really terrible he felt about it and cried a lot when it got brought up. So I knew, I could see his soft side and I see his happy sides, and he's so funny and such a great guy. And yeah, so that's what told me early on that he wasn't evil. Like, because when you're a kid and you are getting hurt by a bigger person, you just think of them as evil and you need to do anything to, like, stop it or hurt them back in some way. And because I couldn't do it physically, I wanted to do it, like, defiantly and be not like him and be like, fuck you in my words and my, like, actions. And or secretively, where I kind of, like, would live a secret life of
that's how we rebel.
Sneaking out of the house and doing my own, like, you know, smoking weed and drinking and trying to get laid in, like, high school. And, like, when I knew they were like, they were like, I had to be in earlier than all my friends, and I had to be, like, home for dinner no matter what. And I was like, where are you going? What are you doing? And they would, like, get all the numbers of my friends. And if I said I was going to Trevor's house, sure enough, I was over there, I'd get a call. They'd get a call over there to make sure I wasn't lying. And, like, I didn't do anything to not be trusted. I never, like, so I was like, oh, yeah, you don't trust me? Like, well, fuck you. I'll give you a reason to not. Like, I don't know why. I just needed to, like.
No, I get it.
Because I couldn't do it in the, like, face to face. I needed, so that when I got to leave the house, finally, 18, the second I could, I was gone. Went to college and just got, like, blackout drunk constantly. Tried to get laid, like, every single night and just, like, became this sort of, like, animal out of a cage type that I thought was the way to, I'm out of the house, like, 18-year-old kid, like, and in Canada, like, you can legally drink at 19, and it's like, okay, let's go, and I just, like, those were all the cool things to me, because they were lame, and they represented everything that was, like, square and, like, old, and I'm, you know, I don't know what it all was, but now, years and years and years later, just realizing I was just punishing myself for some reason, like, drinks, like, blacking out on whiskey, like, nights and nights in a row, and eating like shit because, you know, I had to eat my vegetables, and now fuck you, mom, I can eat chicken fingers, like that, like, I'm disrespecting my own body in a way that's like rebelling against them.
But
which
that's
is so
what a lot of
me.
Us do. And I actually, it's you're reminding me of my ex because I did get cheated on, which I think you both know. I think I've told you. Yeah. I'm sure everyone knows. And no, but the funny thing is like, I don't even blame him anymore because what you're describing makes me think of this person where I feel like for him, it was almost, I represented a mother figure in many ways to him. And he was almost like rebelling against his mother and me, but I could see it. I'm like, oh, this person as a way to survive did what you were just describing. Like his mother was so fucking intense and that he created the secret life as a way to disappear and vanish. And like, and also as a fuck you to her. Like it was the way he could say fuck you.
A big part of why women get a really unfair chance in like the workplace and like being a quote unquote like boss, like a boss ass bitch or whatever, because you have this like early on, boys in our society are taught that like it's a male driven, you know, we're the man. And even as a kid, like being like a young boy, but being like told what to do by a mother, like a woman or whatever, there almost becomes this rebellious side against a woman telling you what to do.
Yes.
And that's like so deep seated. It has this naggy, like, and you know, I work for so many amazing women, all like my 90% of the jobs I get, like freelance film and TV and fashion are female producers and female production coordinators, and that are like my bosses. And I love a huge percentage of them. They're really good at what they do. And then, but I can definitely see when they have to like lay down the law, there's like guys that like roll their eyes or are just like, ugh. Like there is a, like, and it has a naggy quality to it that really sucks.
Like, and the word naggy, you would never use to describe something a man says. Like you would never be like, oh, this guy's nagging me. It's like, that wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then as somebody who, cause I can own the part of myself that is a control. Like I want to be in control of other people.
We even describe like a male boss that's being overbearing as like, you know, get off my ass. Like, you know, I've worked in a lot of like blue collar sort of like maintenance jobs and like construction and stuff. And when there's like, you know, a boss or any kind of like male figure that's being coming down on you
or
mm-hmm. you know, have a tendency to compare them to like a wife or a mother or something.
Right. Yeah. Because like, oh, a strong male figure would never do that. You know, like it's like, oh, you are acting like a woman in this. It's like, what the fuck you?
Yeah. But what you were saying about the controlling too. So I want to hear because.
Well, and because I mean, when you were talking about, you know, in that you don't even blame, love you. Like,
I do. No, and when I say blame,
I hear what you're saying.
I still think it was shitty what he did, and people still need to be responsible for their actions. It's more of my controlling.
Yeah. You're
me,
like, you're
it
owning
triggered
your
his,
part.
Yes.
Or who,
exactly.
You know, like he shouldn't have done that either way. Exactly. Like seeing your part, like that's been a big thing is seeing where like the role that I play. I mean, cause this is all, you know, this is all step work, which is why it like comes up in every single thing. I'm like, this is how I think about the world now, but like, but
well, it's new. It's exciting.
Yeah. And it's like,
getting
oh
a
my
new
God,
perspective
it changes.
Is like,
yeah. The way that I'm like, oh, right. Like I was in every relationship I've ever been in. It's like, I was trying to control the other person, you know, or something. I was like, okay, well in another year we should be engaged and then we're going to probably have a baby coming when I'm about 35 and that'll be perfect. Cause you know, like whatever.
It's all coming together.
Oh my God.
Oh
yeah.
Same way. I remember with my ex, sorry to cut you off. I promise.
No.
But I remember when I was living with Tim, I was like talking about like, we need to have a baby by the time I'm 36, which now I am, which is funny that, you know, I was like, by the time I'm 36, cause you know, my eggs are not going to be young forever. And he was like, okay, can you just like remind me when we get close? Like, right.
Yeah, cool.
He was like, but it was, and then
I'm cool with that, but.
and then I go, oh, by the way, did you remember to move your car for street cleaning? And he goes, oh shit. And I was like, forget it. Like I'm more of like, here I'm trying to control everything.
Six
and like,
years from now,
ask
and
this man
like,
to be on the same plan with me and da 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 da.
And he
like,
can't even remember.
Yeah, and like, it's not even to diss him. Like, I was just like, oh, we are such on two different places right now. Uh-huh. And I'm pretending he's not to have my needs met. Like, it was just such a clear, I'm like, he's in his own shit right now. He's got his own thing. And here I am. I'm like, hey, Tim, focus on my eggs, focus on my eggs.
Yes.
And he's like, I can't even focus on my car. Like, but it was, it's not even like blaming him or to make fun of him. It was like, no. I was trying to create a reality that didn't exist. It wasn't, I wasn't even in reality. I'm talking about, when are we going to have kids? He didn't, he was like, what are you, like, it was just, I was clearly just trying to control and have my needs met and have this
yeah.
reality happen that was not reality.
Right. It's like mm-hmm. a huge dishonesty to tell yourself, like, this is where we're at in our relationship. And it's like, oh no, he's telling me loud and clear he's not here. Like, he's like,
yes,
no, I don't want to talk about marriage. Like, yeah, you do.
Yeah. That's cute.
That's cute that you think that, but you're wrong. And
that's how a lot of marriages end up happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, refer to page 45 of my plan for my life.
Yeah. And, actually,
so that's been a big, oh God, it's like, yeah, no, I do not control other people like that. It's like, it's something so simple, but mm-hmm. it's like
huge, simple yet huge. Cause when you don't control people or life and you let it fall where it's actually supposed to be, you can actually see. This has been so new for me where I'm
me
like,
too. Yeah.
I'm like, oh wait, like let Jay be Jay. Let Katie be Katie. Let Tim be Tim. Let like all my exes be. And I'm like, oh, now I can actually navigate where I want to go.
Yeah.
I can see who people are, what they want to do, and almost send them blessings.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was too scary to send them blessings. I was like, wait, what? He wants to do that? Why doesn't he want to be doing what I want him to be doing? And it's like, now I can just let people be who they are and then decide what's right for me without being mad at them for living what they want their life to be.
Oh my God. Yes. I'm sick of trying to like put my, like, it's been such a freeing thing to like not have expectations of people, you know, cause it's like, oh, that just, it doesn't do anybody any good ever. I mean, not that it's, yeah, it's just not, maybe not expectations, but just like, I cannot, yeah, I can't control other people, and I enjoy my life a lot more when I'm like, oh yeah, it gives me mm-hmm. more permission. And actually, you saying that, like, you give other people more permission to be themselves when you are just yourself, and it's so ugh. And I feel that around you, Kate, all the time. Like, I think that's why I was like, I'm gonna be friends with Kate. But it's like, you know, people have that inviting energy when they're like not putting anything on you. You can just feel that. Mm-hmm. There's space for you to exist there.
Yeah.
Thank you. Seriously.
Once I started living with Kate, like we talked earlier about when Kate was wanting so badly to be my friend right away. And then I was
that's
like,
that's not when you lived
no,
with me.
No, no, early on. Yeah, that's what started. But then when we lived together, you were really opening my eye. Yeah. And no, then I went on, like, I'd come knock on your door and want to talk about like spirituality and
it's
awareness. And
right?
like, it is.
You're getting too clingy.
Like, how you're, how
I'm like,
you,
hey guys, I said best friends, but I didn't mean like best friends.
Or like your healer. What you just described earlier, that it's new and it's exciting. So you just want to, it ends up getting brought up a lot. And I had to do the same thing, like with, you know, with this, like why I was so
everyone
pumped to come on the
excited.
Podcast. Cause I'm like, I get to talk about this, like really open stuff that I never normally would have said, maybe even only 2 years ago.
And when I'm when I first talking tried about getting like, to you and to, when I first had our first big spiritual conversation, because when I first met Jay, I was in it, but I wasn't in. And then I had the crazy accident.
And I was so far away
after
from
I
it,
met,
that.
After a month after I met you. And the first talk I tried to have with him, he was not about what I was saying. And now he's super down to get spiritual.
I didn't get any of it
and,
at all. Yeah. It was
I had
a whole
big
language
block from, I think I had a lot of like spiritual blocks because of like how I perceived God and how mm-hmm. I perceived from like, I was raised Catholic and
same.
Like, oh, cool.
Yeah. Very, very, like I was an altar boy and we went to church every Sunday and like,
get it.
Yeah. Get some of that Jesus.
Get that Jesus.
So I always thought of religion as you know, like
shame.
I don't or it had to fall into these, you're Jewish and I'm Catholic and there's Muslim people and that's the only kinds of mm-hmm. spirituality there can be is these like in these mm-hmm. groups. Mm-hmm. And I only with Kate started thinking of it as like, oh wow, I can have this, I don't know, awareness and a sense of spirituality. I don't even know if I call it that, to be honest, but without, I don't know, defining it as something. And I like that.
Exactly.
It's like realizing that it kind of got reverse engineered for me, you know, like where mm-hmm. it started as like I'd had this feeling It was like, okay, yeah, I know all about the God stuff.
We've been talking for an hour. It does not feel like that, does it?
That must be incorrect.
No, it's not.
Okay, well.
We like took a time machine. Jeez. We'll wrap up soon, but sorry. I just was like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's
crazy. I thought
crazy.
We were at like 35, 40 minutes. No, I thought we were like 35, 40 minutes. Not, I'm not
amazing.
An hour.
Sorry. I'm kind of bummed because right I felt like we could have talked for another half hour.
Very
let's go.
Sad. Yeah, I know.
Have an hour and a half
Jim's
special.
Like, let's not go.
Jim's like, I'm going to leave. I'm Jim's leaving the room. Out.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, it's cool.
In 10 seconds, go.
In 10 I'm seconds. Like, let me just like define what I view my spirituality as now. This is my God concept. God according to Katie. No.
Her new book.
Yeah, it was like I intellectually understood God and then I realized, well, because, okay, so through, I feel like I've recently kind of come to, yeah, like really get in touch with this higher power. And I remember, I can remember certain points of my life, like feeling this like very small voice inside of me being like, it's okay, you're here. You know, it's like this sense of like, I'm never going to not be in my body. And I don't know how to really describe that, but it's kind of like, yeah, it was just so comforting. Like, oh, that stillness. Cause like I can tell when I'm trying to control my life is when it's like my head's buzzing and I'm doing like this weird, like, okay, from 2 to 3, I'm going to be doing this. And then I'm going to travel to Kate's podcast and then we're going to do the podcast. And then after that, you're going to have dinner and then you're going to blow, you know, it's like this sort of thing. And then it's like, oh, being in the moment and
yeah.
Just being like,
in the moment,
where's your body right now?
Breathing, right?
Breathing.
Remembering to breathe is hard for me. And I'm like, oh, just like when you actually start to breathe, you come back from that chaos, that chaos that starts running in your head. I'm like, wait, yeah. Kate, breathe. And then I touch something near me to
and
bring
it's
me back.
Grounding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I love doing hot yoga because I don't do it all the time anymore because that was also very unhealthy. Like I would do double classes. Like
holy
this was like
shit.
Back when I was like in exercise bulimia mode, like really bad. But you know,
it's the right place to be in that mode. Hot yoga
is the place to be. Yeah. It's like
doing it right.
We got to wrap it up. Can I say one thing before before is just when you were saying about the whole, how we want to control other people and how nicer it is to just let everyone be who they truly are. And then you can decide where to navigate. The best thing that's helped me with that is like, yeah, it sucks kind of that I can't control other people, but actually it doesn't. Cause the one thing I have control over is my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing you actually want control over. When you think about it, I'm like, wait, so I can't control this person,
mm-hmm.
but I can go in and decide like, what can I pull out of me that will make me happier? And for me, like the next thing is the dance parties, you know, I'm like, okay, so yeah, I can't make that person live the life I think they should be living, which is actually my life. Like, that's the funniest thing is like, I'm trying to have everyone mm-hmm. live a life that's actually life
yeah.
I'm trying to live. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, so you didn't convince this person to be vegetarian like you, but you get to be vegetarian. And like, yeah, you didn't convince this person that like, you know, being sober is probably a better way to be, but like, you can decide that, you know, like, and here I'm just judging and pointing fingers and then not even doing the things that I'm trying to get them to do,
right.
You know, like, I'm
well,
like,
it's, and
come
it's
back,
the whole
Kate.
Reason I think we want to change other people is so we're more comfortable. It's like, I want you to be sober too. So that
yeah.
I feel like not
you can
aware.
Have this.
And yes. It's just like, no, guess what?
Do you want to feel as good as I feel? Well, how
yeah.
do you feel?
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm
good.
Just a neurotic mess. I'm like,
yeah.
feel like me. Trust me. It's amazing.
My way is the right way.
They're like, bitch, I do not want to live the way you're living. You seem a little stressed.
That's really funny. When, just real quick, to compare it to something that's funny, guys.
Yeah, let's end on a laugh, guys.
When I was walking in Penn Station recently, with I was dropping my sister off at a train, and it was so incredibly crowded. But you know, when someone's like walking in front of you, but they're walking really slow, and you're like, oh god, like get out of my way, like, and you're trying to dip around them, but then you're in that seat and someone else, like you're walking that slow and someone behind you is just like, oh, get out of my way. And you're like, well, everyone's walking so damn fast. You're like, you're always like, it's funny how we think we're like the pace car that everyone should walk. Like
mm-hmm.
when someone's in front of you, you're like, everyone's so fucking slow. And then yeah. when someone's behind you, like trying to get around you, you're like, everyone's in a goddamn rush all the time. And it's similar to what you're saying.
Yes,
like the,
exactly.
You know, trying to change everybody to mold your story.
Meanwhile, you want to stand
it's like,
out. So
yeah,
it's crazy.
But then when you let other people be themselves, you get to like be a spectator and just kind of sit back. And there's almost like, It's a really relaxed. Yeah, it's very peaceful to like see.
You're not so different from everyone else, yeah. right? You're like, oh, yeah. I was the guy going fast yesterday. Yeah. And then yes. today I'm the guy going slow. And it's like, yeah. you're just, yeah.
Yeah. But then we get to, like in life, you get to be the in the driver's seat with what you're doing and how you want to live and act. But then you also get to just like sit back, shut up, and watch people be crazy, like good or bad.
Love it. Guys, we're high-fiving because I'm a huge geek who loves high-fiving.
High-fiving.
Big fan Kate's of the high-fives.
Kate's just trying to wrap this up. I know, she's like, okay, high-five.
Okay, guys, shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
okay. We're done. So, Jay, where can peeps be finding you?
Actually, when this by the time this comes out, our web series, Jay and Eitan, will have dropped on Vimeo. Kate is going to be in the second episode called Nightlight. That'll hopefully be out in about a month.
What's this about?
It's our a little web series, Jay and Eitan. And this first one is about, I haven't really thought about this, but the first one's about it's about a meat pie shop.
Both episodes, and I know like I'm in one. So
Sweeney
this,
Todd,
it's really good.
No. Okay, good.
It's really good. It's not Sweeney Todd like, although maybe one of their episodes could get a little gory.
Possibly later when we have money for that kind of special effects
and
stuff.
Give me your twits and
Instagram. I don't really Twitter ever. Instagram at J Wells Lec LEC.
Perfect. Katie Barbaro.
Love that. Well, I don't really tweet as either, but go ahead and follow me. I might start, you know?
Yeah.
This
might be the moment. Yeah, the tweets start popping out.
Yeah, if after this comes out, I suddenly get, you know, 5,000-6,000 followers, then I'll tweet.
All right, you too.
Come on. Speaking my truth.
Okay. I like how you
guys. I'm sorry.
You guys are getting more and more comfortable. I'm like, we gotta end.
We have to end sometime.
I'm just getting started.
Oh, man. No, I'm Katie Barb, KATIEBARB. It's almost my name. That's on Twitter and Instagram, so it's like a twofer, you know, just pick one.
She kind of looks very similar to me, by the way. We get that a lot.
I noticed that when we saw her walking down the street. I was just like,
hey, is that you down there? Is that you coming towards us?
We're very similar energetically, and I love how
size, everything.
We're newer
friends.
Like,
wearing this crazy pants.
I know, look at us.
A lot of pants.
We're really cute.
We're going to take a picture after
Hell
this.
Yeah,
thank you for reminding me.
Thank you.
A lot of people who know both of us but haven't seen us together, they see us together like, wait, it makes sense. Where they're like, wow.
They're like, wait, Katie, which one's, okay.
Yeah, they're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
You see
sense,
them like on their Facebook being like, which one's. Yeah. it's good.
It's scary.
It's a little scary. It's fun.
It's not that scary.
It's not.
Can I plug my shit?
Plug your
Not
shit.
Not like actually my shit, but okay. So guys,
poop on us.
This isn't definite yet, but it's pretty definite, is that May 3rd will be the next Going Deep. So it'll be on Eventbrite. You can search Going Deep. So if it's not May 3rd for some reason, the other date will come up. But I'll be posting that just like I'm posting all my other stuff. But yeah, it's an amazing healing event. And then, I think that's all I'm going to be plugging on this one. Other than my Twitter at the Kate Wolf, and if you want a tarot card reading, kwolf27@gmail.com. We record here at Pinch Recording Studios. I think it's pinchrecording.com. I just blanked on the website. I'm really good at plugs. And guys, thanks for listening. And you too, thanks for coming on, my little delightful fairy angels.
Love you.
Bye.
Sorry for the awkwardness.
Bye.